That last song, well, all of them, you know, we're talking about the greatness of God. And the last couple of weeks, what we've wanted to do is focus on the qualities of God. So when someone asks you, why are you a Christian? Why did you get up early on a Sunday morning and go to church? I mean, and don't you wonder, like when people are driving by, when we're out front having some fellowship time, having some coffee, reaching back to our Moravian roots. Look it up. As they're driving by, do you ever wonder if they're wondering, what's going on? What are they doing? You know? They need to know how great is our God. They need to know. They need to know. And we need to be sure that we're clear when we have the opportunity, as God puts people in our way, to be able to tell them. So last week we talked about how, you know, God is good. And, you know, the next part of the children's prayer is you know, God is great. So this morning we want to focus on that a little bit. We want to talk about how strong God is. Then we want to go back to that last song where how God is undefeated. There is nothing that has ever stood or can ever stand before our God. And God is eternal. God is eternal. Somebody might say, don't you think that religion, that faith stuff is just a crutch? Yeah, which is real handy if you're broken. Right? I mean, if you're broken, I was reading a prayer request that came in. I was looking at a website, and they had a prayer request section, so I clicked on it and just kind of reading down. And wow, this lady has just been through a lot, and she was just reaching out to anyone who would be willing to pray for her. She was just broken. Well, when you're broken, yeah, crutch is a good thing. So who is great like our God? If you've got your Bible, that is a reoccurring theme in the book of Psalms. Find Psalm 77. Find Psalm 77. For the moment, let's just look at verse 13. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who've been leading. I love the spirit. I love the passion. I love the absolute certainty in their voices as they play, as they sing. Father, truly, it's not just a matter of believing. You give us the power of knowing. We can say like Job, I know my Redeemer lives. So, Father, thank you that you are a great and mighty and awesome God. Who is like you? What other God is there great like you? There is none. Be with us, Lord. Give us your spirit that we may hear from you. In Christ's name, amen. Indeed, who is great like our God? And why do we tremble when the demons around us are shrieking? Our God is good. Our God is our protector, our help. And our God is great, great. Often we get fooled or disappointed by what we perceive as greatness, what we perceive as powerful. I was a chaplain once upon a time for a high school football team, and as I was getting to know the coach and the players and the rest of the staff, I visited over the summer while the players were coming in to do their off-season workouts, a lot of weightlifting, a lot of conditioning. And he and I are hitting it off good, and we're walking around, and he's introducing me to a lot of the players, and I watched the boys as we talked, and there was this one kid who absolutely stopped me in my tracks. Oh my stars, he was a monster. He had to be a good 6'5", 235, chiseled body, no body fat. He looked like he'd been put together by Michelangelo. And I said, "Coach, my goodness, this kid looks like he'd be a monster on the field." And the coach said, "Yeah, but no, at least not so far. He looks like Tarzan, but he plays like Jane." Ball players, investments, politicians, preachers, often they look strong and great, but then prove otherwise. They let you down a lot of the time when you need them the most. But our God is different. Our God is great. To go back to the coach, our God looks like Tarzan, plays like Godzilla. We could spend the rest of the day right here and long into the night getting testimony from people in this room right here with you on just how great our God is just from your own experience. Go back to Psalm 77. We looked at verse 13. Come with me to verses 14 through 20. 13 said, "What God is great like our God?" Verse 14 says, "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples." Our God is great because our God is strong. "You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you, and they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Go back to verse 14. "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people." Has not God, even in my life and in your own life, shown us your power? How many miracles, Sweetwater, have we seen just in recent days? And over the life of this congregation, has not God shown his greatness both with his mighty hand and in his quiet whispers? And as we look to March 31st, the Washington prayer meeting, where we will gather with many Christians and brothers and sisters from across the country, there in Washington and in state capitals and in local churches, will not God again show his redeeming power to his people? Amen? In verse 16, the psalmist goes back to the story of Moses and Aaron leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea. "The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you, and they were in anguish. The deep also trembled. The clouds poured water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The psalmist here did what I just did. He gets his people, his readers, and helps them to remember the past, how God has shown his power throughout the days gone by, pointing back here to Israel's crossing of the Red Sea. That story, by the way, is one that a lot of non-believers just dismiss out of hand. Nonsense, myth. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who told a story about a young man he knew once who had a very, very liberal Old Testament professor. And as the Old Testament professor began the lecture on this particular passage, he was saying, "Now, you need to understand what really happened there." And the young man in the back went, "Amen, brother, go on." And the professor looked at him and said, "First of all, it was not the Red Sea, but the Reed Sea, a sea of reeds." And the young man in the back is going, "Tell it, brother, go on." And the professor glared at him for a second, then went on and said, "Now, in truth, the water was only about 4 inches deep in the Reed Sea, so it was really no big deal for Moses to get the people across the water there at all." And the boy in the back's going, "Amen! Go on!" And the professor finally had had enough and looked at the guy and said, "What is your deal?" He said, "Man, what a great and awesome God we've got." And the professor said, "I don't understand." He said, "Man, you just told me that God drowned the entire Egyptian army in 4 inches of water. Hallelujah!" Our God is a great God. The psalmist talks about what happened that day at the Red Sea, how the thunder rolled and the earth shook and the lightning flashed and the waters parted. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we can fearlessly walk through the valley of the shadow because our God is stronger, greater than anything you and I will ever face. Even in the darkest corners of the valley of the shadow of death, our God is strong. This is who our God is. And we can have ultimate confidence because, like the song a little while ago said, our God is undefeated. Over in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 2, the prophet asks, "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap." Who can endure? And who can stand when he appears? All who have ever stood against our God have wound up just in the dustbin of history. The empire of the greatest Pharaoh, gone. The mighty Roman Empire that stretched from Scotland all the way to Afghanistan, gone. Those who led the French Revolution, who brought about the deaths of tens of thousands, began to collapse with Robespierre's blasphemous cult of the supreme being, where he made himself out to be God. The Nazis, the Soviets with their mighty armies, all of these were devoured by the power and greatness of our God. What armies, governments, international corporate conglomerations What are these compared to the eternal greatness of God? What does the Apostle Paul say in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31? In Romans 8, 31, the Apostle says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" If God is for us, who is against us? Who indeed? The atheists that you may know at work? The so-called progressives who push forward political agendas without any consideration of the Creator who gave them those inalienable rights? Who seriously is against us? Who do we need to fear if God is for us? This is what Paul is thinking when he says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." All things. And Paul is writing this from a Roman prison. And he's writing to the Philippians knowing, confident, that his time on this earth is short. But I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about the Romans, he's saying. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who will stand against us when God is for us? He has never been defeated. He has not been defeated by death, for he has overcome death. He has not been defeated by sin, for he has overcome sin. He will never, ever be defeated. Our God is great. Our God is strong. Our God is undefeated. And our God is eternal. Let's go back again to the book of Psalms, Psalms 29. In Psalm 29, the psalmist tells us in verses 1 through 11, "Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve. He strips the forest bare, and in his temple everything says glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. Life is short. Eternity is long. Anything we human beings can create has an expiration date. I do appreciate Jerry Seinfeld's humor from time to time. How do they know the expiration date on milk? Do the cows tell them? Psst, June 14th. I don't know. But I know that whatever car I'm driving ain't going to last forever. I like this shirt. It ain't going to ever last forever. When we first got married, I didn't have a decent suit, so Kathy took me shopping. We spent too much money on some really nice suits. She said, "Think of it as an investment. The problem was she's a great cook, and I outgrew those suits pretty quickly. Whatever we do, whatever we build, whatever we create, whatever we make, comes with an expiration date. It may take a while, but in creation, nothing lasts forever. Even stars burn out after a time and fail. Oceans dry up. Out in the middle of the Mojave Desert is a town and a place called China Lake. You won't find any water there. You can see where there once was, but it's gone now. It's all desert. In Russia, one of the great bodies of water through time was called the Aral Sea. It was once the fourth largest lake inland body of water in the world, covering some 26,300 square miles. By 1997, it was down to only 10% of its size. And it continues to decline. Nothing in creation lasts forever. Only God is eternal. He invites you and I to join Him in eternity. Life is short. Eternity is long. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the Word of God reminds us that the world is passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. The world is passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Let me ask you. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." He constantly talked about God in those terms. The word he used was Abba, which basically is the Hebrew Aramaic word for dad, not the formal father. Our dad, who art in heaven. Let me ask you something. What is it that makes a great dad? Well, isn't it how he provides? And isn't it how he loves? And isn't it how he's there for you? A great dad is the one that's out there cheering on his kids no matter what they're doing. I know a guy who looks a lot like that football player I described. He is a man's man. Married a beautiful girl. God blessed him with three girls. He had this whole image all of his life about being a dad like his dad was a dad, being out of the ball field, you know, playing football, hitting hard. Instead, this guy who again, looks like he was built by Michelangelo, hangs out at ballet practice and loves it. Hangs out at cheerleading practice and loves it. Thrills watching the little one drive the pink electric Barbie car. And those girls adore him because he's investing himself in them. Aren't those the kinds of things that make a dad a great dad? Brothers and sisters, our God is great not just because the forest and mountains collapse before him. Our God is great because of the way he loves us. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my laying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be like night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same, are alike to you. Do you remember when you were little, alone in your bedroom in the dark, and you cried out, and your dad came in, checked under the bed, checked in the closet, tucked you back in, kissed you, and said, go back to sleep. I'm here, and you're safe. You've got nothing to fear. This is who our God is. This is what makes him great. So that we can tell the world out there that our God is a great God. There is no other God like him. But our God is a great God to me, because of the way he loves me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, help them to know that you are good. Help them to know that you are great. Help them to know that no matter how dark the world may be, that is nothing to you. Powerful forces may assemble. Cries and shrieks may go up. But you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And all who have ever stood against you have been crushed, swept aside, swept up, tossed away. And all who will yet come against you will meet the same fate. For who is a God like our God? There is none. So, Lord, I thank you that you are a great and mighty and awesome God. Father, I thank you more that you are a great and mighty and awesome God who loves me, who loves us, who loves us so much that you sent your only Son to die for us. And that those who do your will, who love you, and whose love comes from you, we will be with you in eternity, forever and ever. So, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that a great God like you loves us and invites us to come and be with you forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.